Well, next up, I'd like to introduce Bill Jordan. He is professor and department chair of mechanical engineering at Baylor University. He teaches material science courses and conducts research into the mechanical behavior of composite materials. Bill also works in the areas of engineering ethics and engineering education. He is no stranger at ASA. He is an ASA fellow, and until recently was serving as the chair of the board of directors. And his talk today is entitled Putting Sustainability into Practice, Converting a Home to Solar Power. Let's welcome Bill.
Thank you for that kind introduction. I just do need to make one small correction. I'm now theoretically retired from Baylor University. Some people accuse me of flunking retirement because of my ASA involvement. I'm also heavily involved with engineering accreditation. I spent last week in Baltimore with ABET. I'm on the Engineering Accreditation Commission, which makes the final accreditation decisions of all the engineering programs in most of the world. So I'm still being active in retirement. You should expect to see me at future ASA meetings. So the goal of my presentation was to show how I put into sustainable engineering concepts into personal practice with a home solar installation. I'll talk a little bit about the Christian motivations for this and some practical issues. How do we design it? Do we go with batteries or no batteries? Some of you may not be familiar with a no battery version of solar. And the goal was to have net zero electric costs. What are some of the economics of it? What's some of the installation of it? And what was the actual power output? And then I'm going to make some recommendations. The instructions for making this presentation suggest we put some references at the end. I'm kind of putting the references at the beginning because this is how I was motivated to do this. For many years, I've been interested in the subject of sustainable engineering, but haven't done much about it. I spent the fall of 2016 at Villanova University in the suburbs of Philadelphia. And the main thing I did in my sabbatical was to sit in on two graduate classes. They have one of the most vigorous sustainable engineering graduate programs in the country. I sat in on one called Fundamentals of Sustainable Engineering, and a separate one based on my own area, these related to my own area, materials engineering, sustainable materials and design. While there, I decided to spend most of my remaining academic career looking at things from a sustainable approach. One example in terms of traditional research, I've been doing fiber-reinforced plastics. I started doing banana fiber-reinforced plastics. But banana fibers are certainly renewable because you can grow more each year. My first result was the spring and summer after that I spoke, I think that was the Denver one, a Christian approach to sustainable engineering. Kind of just a broad statement of where I come from my experience in Villanova, as well as my other thinking. Then the next year here, I present about teaching sustainable materials concepts in a required engineering course. I regularly taught the introduction of materials engineering within our mechanical engineering program, and I deliberately put some sustainable concepts. And this was a required course in the junior year. One of the things I've done throughout my academic career as I got more involved with ASA is to do what I call double dipping. If I'm doing something interestingly in the engineering education concept, present a secular and a Christian version of it. So I've been actively involved with ASAA, American Society for Engineering Education, for many decades. So that same summer, I presented a secular version incorporating active learning and sustainable engineering concepts into required materials class. So some of you are wondering, how do you have time to do a Christian paper when you have to do a secular paper? At least in the education area, I found it very easy to do both, specifically the very same year. My journey with this, the most recent thing I did after that is I created a course called Corrosion and Sustainable Metallurgy. I taught it for the first time in the spring of 2021 when we were all masked and had all those other issues. But this combined my materials interest and my interest in corrosion. And I presented a paper in 2019 about that very same thing. This kind of brought me all the way back to my original origin when I did my master's thesis on liquid lithium corrosion of iron. But I never had time to teach a corrosion course since then. So I really enjoyed putting that together. So the next question is, if we look at this, I consider what I've done with my home part of sustainable development. Well, if you're looking, at least in engineering context, what is sustainable development, the various professional societies have really long, involved definitions. I really love the definition I saw when I was at Villanova University, they created, I did not, they defined sustainable development by four words. It's enough for all forever. And I think that gets at the heart of sustainability. You're producing enough of what people need, you're producing enough for everybody, and you can keep on doing it over and over and over. One of my motives for solar in our home is that I see this as a sustainable issue. There are some practical issues of solar panel pollution, but I love the enough for all forever. Because so many definitions I see within engineering, it's so long and complicated, nobody really understands what you're talking about. I can share this with my friends in church. That's what sustainability is to me. So I decided to try to put this into practice in our home. We live in Waco, Texas. It is hot and sunny a lot in Waco. So not everywhere in our country could you do realistically solar power, but certainly you could in Waco, Texas. What are some Christian concepts about this? We have certainly learned a lot from the creation care movement, but I would suggest at least sustainable engineering is not just environmental engineering or environmental concern. That certainly includes that topic. One of the goals that I have for the rest of this calendar year is to try to write an ASA journal article about a Christian approach to sustainable engineering. Because engineering is different from science. ASA accepts me as an engineer, as a scientist. Engineers see scientists and engineers differently. And engineers will see sustainability a little bit differently. So first I want to talk about trying to create something about sustainable engineering and then about a Christian approach to sustainable engineering. The Bible has much to say about how we live our lives, but since it was written in a pre-technology era, I don't think we could get a lot of direct verses about sustainability in engineering, but we need to infer something. The next couple of slides I've shown, I think about in the 2017 paper, I learned a lot from two guys named Francis. Some of your reactions to the... Francis Schaeffer, I became a Christian in 1971, and this is one of the very first Christian books I ever read. It's fair to say Francis Schaeffer was a very conservative evangelical, very close to the fundamentalist side. It's very clear that Pope Francis is very different. But to me, the thing that was amazing to me is despite 45 years different, despite a very difference in Christian faith traditions, unless they reinforced each other. So I shared these two quotes with some of my people at David. One Francis wrote one and one Francis wrote the other. First one said, "We are not God. The earth was here before us and has been given to us. Nowadays we must forcefully reject the notion that our being created in God's image and given dominion over the earth justifies absolute domination over other creatures." The other Francis says, in a different place, "Why does strip mining turn the world into an absolute desert? What has brought about this ugly destruction of the environment? There's only one reason, man's greed." And I'm curious, who thinks which Francis said which one of those? Any response? Yes?
I think it's Schaeffer did one and Pope Francis the second.
When I did this to engineers, in fact, almost all of them said that. But the answer is Francis Schaeffer wrote about man's greed in 1970, and Pope Francis wrote this other thing. I think Francis Schaeffer would have agreed with the first thing. The idea, and I think a lot of people think of the Greek part that they associate that with the Pope's comments. And I think the Pope probably would have agreed with that too. But the idea is, if you're coming from a Christian faith tradition, you can have some similarities in what you think. You know? The environmental benefits is clearly a controversial topic. It clearly reduces pollution where I live. I recognize there are some environmental issues at the manufacturing location and also with the disposal of the panels. I'm not an expert on this, but I really think that doing this solar is less total pollution. But even if you don't agree with that, there's also the issue, do you move pollution around? This is taking pollution away from a city and putting it to some other location. An example is our electricity before we went from solar was 100% from coal-fired power plant. I think it's fair to say if a lot of people in Waco use solar, that will improve the life of Waco. So the design of this system, it was designed to produce 110% of my yearly electrical needs. one of the things, and I'll say a little more on another slide, is what we do is we buy and sell from the grid every day. The point is, batteries would have added 25 to 30% more to the cost than we could not have afforded. So what happens is, we generate more electricity than we need in the daytime, and we sell it to the utility, we buy some back at night. The other thing is, day shifting. The peak generation of electricity right now in Waco is right now. However, this is overwhelmingly the peak electrical use demand for us. Unlike people, perhaps in northern U.S., our highest electric bills are in the summer because of air conditioning. So what the goal is we're going to, if we sell more to them than we buy, we get a credit with the utility. And the idea is to build up credits in the fall and spring to cover the summer. Now, this year, we're going to have a small amount of purchases of electricity because we didn't have anything in the fall. But I'll share with you later, our system got effective in the wintertime. But the idea is we get credits every day, and I'll show you some of the details of how that might look. So dealing with local spectrum, well, the batteries are no batteries. We've already talked about that. The battery system, the other thing is they're big. I don't know where we would have put the batteries in our home either. One thing you have to deal with wherever you live is you may have to deal with local inspectors. We had to deal with a local inspector that I first thought was too picky, and I eventually concluded that our installer had the big major problem. But the point is, there is a City of Waco inspector. We got to know him because he visited our house many times. One of the things, so I'll tell you more about our story of this. We're going to say, I highly recommend you use solar. I do not recommend you use the company we used. And I'm not going to say their name when it's being recorded, but if you want to ask that afterwards, I'll tell you. You need to find a company which you can buy and sell every day. The company we were using earlier wouldn't do that. So usually, I don't know how they measure all this because everything's interconnected, but you could typically get that, find one. One of the things that I didn't think about, I was shocked when 1 month earlier this year we actually had an electricity bill because we sold more to the power company than we bought, but the power company we buy from does not own the power line. And the power line company charges you $25 a month for the privilege of buying somebody else's electricity. So we got to generate more than that amount. So we went with a large multi-billion dollar company, except they weren't local. Their installers came down from Dallas and were 110 miles away. And then we had some real problems with them, which is why I won't say the name in front of you. So here's kind of the saga. We signed a contract in February 8th of next year. Let's notice the date. July 21st is when they started putting it in. That's a process. And that's much longer than 15. The inspector came by and said stop, because what happened is they submitted a design to the city, and after they have assessed it some more, they decided they put all the panels on one side of a roof rather than in three different places. So I think that was an improvement to the design, but they didn't get around to file their change in design with the city until they started building. The inspector said, no, you've got to file the change, you've got to file the official one, and that makes sense that the city wants you to show them what you're actually building. Okay, on August 18th, there was supposed to be an inspection, but the city inspector came and left before our installers got there from Dallas. Stop. September 2nd, the inspector said, well, you didn't put in the surge protectors you needed. Got to stop. September 22nd, the city inspector came and left before the installers got there, and he needed to interact with them. Then they installed 9 of them in September 26th. That's not 224 panels, that's 24 panels. The city inspector then in October approved the rough inspection. So then we had the final inspection. Well, the solar panel installation was completed in October, not supposed to turn on until past city inspection. November 7th, it failed the city inspection. I'm not an electrical engineer, but I do know there's a code to what color the wires are supposed to be. They took a core that was supposed to be white, and it was black, and they just wrapped white tape around. Even I know that's dangerous to do if you try to go in and you think it's one charge and it's the other. So that's another example of the installer situation. So on January 4th, it passed the final inspection. Only then did we notice that the installers turned it on in December and never turned it off. So we were getting benefit off in the month of December. So here my wife and I were symbolically turning on. Here you see and you see they made, you know, they had places here for the exhaust, but they're all on one side facing to the southeast. And here's another picture of it. So this part is the only part that was here initially. All the rest of this is related to the solar. You also see our air conditioner there. So let's look at some details of what this meant for us. The average cost of electricity we spent in U.S. dollars in 2022 was $239. The lowest was $128 in the spring, and the highest was $472 in July. We like to keep comfortable. In Texas, you know, it gets hot. I enjoyed walking around here when it's only 80 degrees. That feels wonderful. It's supposed to be about 105 in Texas again today. So this shows you the details of what it's supposed to produce. The critical thing is, this is about what we do a day. 44 kilowatt hours a day is what we did in June, which was a pretty good production month. So the cost was $45,000. We paid off about half of it. I know many of you are Canadian, but those of you who are from the United States, I want to thank you for subsidizing our solar power. The omnibus built in the December, which we did, I didn't really personally approve of very much, increased the rate from 26% to 30%. Now that's a tax credit. That's not a tax deduction. That means our taxes were reduced by $14,306 for last year, which without that we could not have afforded. This is the output where the panels on the top, those are the ones that are actually on the bottom for June. But if you look at the numbers of kilowatt hours, it varied no more than 1% or 2%. And there is some shade issues, you know, around here and here because there's things sticking up. So it's pretty consistent. I've been very impressed with the software that allows us to monitor all this. Here is the monthly production for June. You can tell which days were cloudy and which days were not. You know, we did 1.3 megawatt hours in June is what we produced. And here's what one day on July 5th. You can see a cloud move through at some points. But you could monitor this in 15-minute increments every day. Within 15 minutes, it'll put up another dot. So I'm really pleased with what we can do to monitor. This shows you what we've generated. And for example, the bill in July 6th, we generated 1,400 kilowatt hours. We used 820. We sold 580 to the utility, and we bought 936. This is the deficit month because of it. If you go back to say, April, we generated 1,000 kilowatt hours. We used 247. We sold 753 and only bought 310. So we helped build up that bank and help pay. Otherwise, we would have had a little bit bigger bill in July than we did. But so far, we paid $21 on electricity this calendar year, and it would have been $1,397 if we had not. But my conclusion is that for many people, solar power is an option. Again, your climate it dramatically affects that. Also, if there are tall buildings next to you or other things. Being more sustainable is a good thing. Our Christian faith strongly supports. I think it will just cut down pollution at the location of where you live. So we encourage you to go solar if your climate has enough sun to make it viable. For us within the United States, there's a dramatic income tax credit. There are a number of states within the United States that give you credits on top. Texas doesn't have an income tax, so there's no credit to be able to get from Texas. But I know there are other places that will give you credits. I don't know what the situation is in Canada with respect to credits of various types. So we were also encouraged to use a different vendor. You saw it took them 5 months to just get there, and then all the issues they had. Everything has worked wonderfully once they've installed it, and we're very happy that we've gone solar. But I would not recommend that company.
What's the longevity of the system? What do you expect? How long before you expect to be calling the company for repairs?
Okay, I suspect, I mean, it's supposed to be 25 to 30 years. We have had one hailstorm since that it's been installed, and it had no effect on us. I'm not gonna be personally worried, I don't think, in 25 or 30 years. But the idea is, we have to do it as a good engineer for calculation, that in the long run, it's gonna save us money. And I'm convinced it will.
So can you comment on the payback time for the whole project?
We expect somewhere on the order of 6 to 7 years would be the breaking point. Part of that depends on how quickly we pay off the loan. We're gonna try to pay off the loan the next few years, and that may cut it down to maybe 5 years. Yes?
Hey there, I put in a system about on the same time frame that you did, and I'm curious if you know anything about how heat and humidity affects the efficiency, because I was sitting here looking at my app, comparing, I have 18 panels, 9 are south facing and 9 are east facing. I live in northern Indiana, and one of the selling points they made was, for many of the months, we do better than people down in the south because of the heat and humidity. My 18 panels in May and June did just about the same as your 24 panels did, but during the wintertime I get way less. So yeah. But I wonder if you know anything about the efficiency of these and how heat and humidity affects that.
My short answer is I don't know how heat and humidity affects that. I do agree, we'll generate more electricity in the winter than you will.
Two things. One is that you can find out what the coefficient of temperature is for your solar panels, and ours will work much better in the cold weather. The second question is that a lot of utilities are using the batteries, homeowners' batteries, as an extra power source. And some of the Connected Solutions program in Massachusetts, I have a similar system to yours, one more panel. And today is an event day, so they're going to actually discharge my battery, 16 kilowatt-hour battery, for 2 hours from 5 to 7 Eastern. So that'll be about 5 kilowatt discharge rate, 10 kilowatt-hours. They pay about $30 for that, so that could help as well.
Okay.
The end of the 60 events, I'll get about $2,000 back.
We don't have solar panels. I've kind of thought about it possibly. One thing I've just seen information about, like if there's a power outage in your area, something about if there's a power outage in your area, you lose your solar panels shut off or don't get electricity.
That's something we've thought about. If we lose power to the city. The city power, the electricity we would have sold to the city, it just lost. Mm-hmm. What that would mean is if we were out of power for several days, like we were a year and a half ago, we would have power during the day because we're running directly off our panels during the day. So we still have power during the daytime, but we would be without it at night.
But your battery, you have a battery, right?
No,
battery.
We have no batteries.
Oh, you have no batteries.
No batteries. If we had some batteries, that's another rationale.
Yeah, with a battery.
In a few years, we may want to reconsider that depending on our finances. But initially, we wanted to get the system in, and again, we're not living apart from the grid, we're just living differently.
Okay, we've got time for one more right here.
I'm back here. Thank you for your nice talk. I was wondering if you have any comments going beyond just individual churches, but also like maybe comments regarding our church communities or general city communities.
While I'm happy with our personal solar, I'm not sure that solar is the replacement for the grid, I'll put it that way. Now, I think you mentioned church there. I think that would be a live option that churches, I think, ought to at least think about that issue. Because the idea of not depending, once you get it paid for, you're not paying anything for the sunlight. So I think individuals, I think businesses and churches should seriously think about that. I think the idea that solar is going to replace the grid in its entirety is not going to happen.
Okay, let's go.